Yeah, so Gurupadika Stotram, this is written by one of the Shankaracharya of Sringeri. So his name was Sachidananda Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati. It's not Narasimha, it's called Narasimha Bharati. So he was the current pontiff in Sringeri is Bharati Tirtha. His guru was Abhinava Vidya Tirtha, and Abhinava Vidya Tirtha's guru was Chandrasekhara Bharati. And his guru was Sachidananda Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati. So it was around, I think, should be around 1900 or even before that. That's when he lived. So Sachidananda Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati, he is also famous for having opened, like, it is said that when Shankara's mother died, so Shankara wanted to do the cremation for her, and none of the people in Kaladi helped him because he was a sannyasi. Sannyasis are not supposed to burn fire, so nobody helped him. But Shankara, like, out of his yogic power, he burnt it without ignition of fire. He created the fire himself out of his mind, mental capacity, or his powers. So after that, it is said that Shankara cursed the people there, since they didn't help him in cremation of his mother. And out of compassion, Shankara again said that, okay, I'll take back my curse. The curse will become invalid when a person in my lineage, in the Shankaracharya tradition, would come there and kind of renovate, or like kind of build a temple or something of that sort, renovation kind of thing. So it is said that Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati is the one who came to Kaladi and renovated the place. So Kaladi is now very popular, like there is Chinmaya Mission is there, as well as like the Shankara Mandam and all is quite popular there. Before his time, it had the curse. So it is said that this is Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati is the one who removed the curse. So he wrote a work called Gurupadika Stotram. There is also a Gurupadika Stotram attributed to Shankara as well, but that goes a different way. This one is highly devotional in nature, as well as it has knowledge portions as well. So it means Gurupadika Stotram. Stotram is always, any stotram is something which praises, so stuti. So stotram, this stotram praises the Guru Paduka. Paduka means the footwear. Guru Paduka means the Guru's footwear. So here he praises the Guru's footwear. So it is said that the Guru's padas are so powerful that it can remove us from all bondages. But here the author praises not the Guru's padas, but the Guru's footwear. So the footwear itself is so powerful that the Guru Paduka can liberate us from samsara. It is also said that Shankara's, like, whatever Shankara wrote, the Guru Paduka, it is said that Shankara, once he got into sannyasam at the age of 8, he set out in search of a guru. So at that time he found on the banks of Narmada river, I guess, he found like a saint meditating. That was Govindapada, his to-be guru. And at that time he found that there was a paduka kept nearby to where Govindapada was sitting. And Shankara is said to have praised the Guru Paduka. That is like about Shankara's Guru Paduka. But this Guru Paduka is about Shivabhinava Narasimha Bharati speaking about what a Guru Paduka can do. Again, Guru's Padam has been, as far as my knowledge goes, there are two interpretations given. One is Paramartha says, gives the Sanskrit word meaning of Pada. Pada means Padayati iti Padaha. Padayati means that which leads us, that which takes us. So Padayati means where it leads us, Parameshwaram Padayati. That which leads us to Ishvara. That or Paramatma or Brahman, that is called Pada. So the Pada, Guru Pada, indicates, like, or denotes that entity which helps us in the path, thereby leading us to the goal. And I have read in Parthasarathi, I think E. Parthasarathi or something, he was a disciple of Chinmayananda, and he started his own like kind of ashram. He gives lectures and all like Chinmaya mission people. So he mentions in one place that our body, if you see, our body is supported by our legs or our feet, to be specific. So even as our body is supported by the feet, the Guru's Pada indicates that which supports the Guru, or that which in which the Guru stands. And the Guru is a person. Ukarashandakaro Rukarastan Nirodhakrit Ajnana Grasakam Brahma Guru Reva Nasamsheha. Gukarashandakaro. Gukaram means Andakaram. Gu means Andakaram. Rukarastan Nirodhakrit. Ru means removal of Gu or Ajnanam. Ajnana Grasakam Brahma. Ajnanam, that which is removes Ajnanam, is the ultimate reality of Brahman. Guru Reva Nasamsheya. That Brahman is Guru alone. So Guru always stands in Brahman. The two qualities of Guru, two characteristics of Guru that scriptures mention are like, one is Srotriyam, Brahmanishtam. Second is, so Srotriyam means one who is well versed in the scriptures. It is not well versed in the scriptures, but well versed in the truth of the scriptures, well versed in scriptural knowledge. And Brahmanishta, one who is ever established in Brahman. So Guru is a person who stands in Brahman. That means the Guru Pada is nothing but Brahman. That means the Guru's Pada indicate Brahman. So when we offer ourselves to Guru's Pada, it indicates offering to Brahman. And there is also like the tantric way of interpretation as well. Like the Padas have a lot of power in them. So it is also said that like many sannyasis, many people don't recommend touching their Pada, because Pada is the place where it's considered that attracts all bad powers. So it is a place which attracts and accumulates bad powers. So if you fall on the feet of a guru, of a person, of a saint, and touch his feet, that means you are passing on your bad power onto him. This, like Amma has confirmed this in her internal speeches, she has confirmed this. So that's the reason why many saints don't recommend touching their feet. And that's the reason why, like, we should always, when we are prostrating to a person, to a Mahatma, we should touch his feet so that our bad things fall into it. So that's also another thing, that like the Padas are so powerful that it will purify us by taking all the bad things. So if it is just about the Padas, Padas, then we can understand. But here the author says, he speaks about the Guru Paduka. So the Guru's Padas are so powerful, but the Paduka itself is so powerful. I know of people like in Amma's ashram who will die for getting one of Amma's Padukas. And the early saints who have got like hold of one of Amma's Padas, they still maintain it in their ashram. So few disciples, like the Ernakulam Kochin ashram has one and all. There is also a beautiful story. We are not deviating anywhere, because the work will take very less time to explain. There is a beautiful story mentioned about the emphasis of the Guru Padas. Not Padas, Padukas. So what happened was, once there was a wealthy man who was a disciple of a guru. So at that time, like, he used to always go to the guru, learn and all. Once another person who wanted some money for his daughter's marriage, he approached the guru. And the guru said, okay, I don't have anything to give you, but take my padukas. That is the only thing I have. And that person thought, okay, what is this? He is giving me a paduka. How can it help me? He took the paduka, and then, but still he couldn't refuse. So he took the paduka and he was going on the way. And while on the way, the wealthy man was coming in, like elephants and all. He was coming to meet his guru. At that time, he felt, oh, I can feel the presence of my guru. How is this possible? I'm far away from him, but I still feel his presence. What is it? At that time, he saw this person coming. He asked him, like, are you coming from my guru? Then that person told, I have goddess Padukas. This wealthy man was so surprised. He said, I want that Paduka. I'll give you all my wealth. So he gave all his wealth to the person and got the Paduka. He went running to his guru and said, oh guru, I got your Padukas. And the guru asked, like, what did you give to get this? Then that person said, I gave all my wealth. And the guru, it seems, guru replied, oh, you have got it quite cheap. Because, like, the guru's padukas, if you get hold of guru paduka or the guru's padas, that means it's as good as getting rid of all your problems, because it is then the guru's responsibility to take care of you. And the guru is compassionate and all, learned everything, so that means, like, he will take care. It's like Krishna's saying that sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Offer everything unto me, sarva dharman parityajya, renounce everything, mam ekam sharanam vraja, take sharanam, take refuge in me alone, aham tva sarva papebhyo, I will liberate you from all sins, do not worry. So it's the same thing that, but like, if Guru Paduka, while we learn the work, we can see what is, how he beautifully, the author beautifully explains about Guru Padukas. So if Guru Paduka itself has so much power, then total surrender to the Guru Padas, or like, which indicates that you are staying with the Guru, you are offering everything to him that will have. Krishna himself says in the fourth chapter of Gita that if a person has to learn knowledge, then tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. If you want to know knowledge, if you want to get knowledge, then tadvidhi, in order to know about Brahman, pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, go to a guru, offer yourself unto his feet, and then do seva for him and question him. Then upadeshyanti te jnanam. Then such a person, jnaninah, tattva darshinah, that person who is learned and who is a tattva darshi, who knows the reality, will instruct you in knowledge. But this shloka is quite beautiful. If you can chant daily, or like, if you can just remember the meaning itself, it is so, like, it will give you an immense bliss, and it will, like, it will also make you understand the importance of guru in life, in the life of a spiritual seeker, of course. Because without a guru, acharyavan purusho veda, a person who has acharya alone knows the reality. Without a guru, you cannot realize. If a person thinks he can realize without a guru, then there is no foolish person other than him. It's as good as telling that a person who doesn't know mathematics will teach you mathematics. And it's like telling that I don't know mathematics, I will learn by myself. There are very few people who can learn by themselves. So for learning, for knowledge, you cannot learn by yourself. You have to go to a guru. You have to go to a guru and learn in the proper way. The proper way is like offering yourself and then asking questions as well as learning the scriptures. So the first shloka goes like this. अनंत संसार समुद्र तार नौकायिताभ्याम गुरु भक्तिदाभ्याम वैराग्य साम्राज्य पूजनाभ्याम नमो नमः श्री गुरु पादुकाभ्याम. So all the like shlokas at the end, they say नमो नमः श्री गुरु पादुकाभ्याम. I offer my prostrations again and again to the paduka of the guru, गुरु पादुकाभ्याम. To the guru padukas, I offer my prostrations. And what is this Guru Paduka? Ananta Samsara Samudra Tara. Like Ananta Samsaram. The Samsaram is called Anantam. Anantam means it's never ending. It's like without any end. It is Anantam or infinite because like it has no beginning and it has no end. It is endless because we are always in it and we cannot come out of it. It has like full of, it is full of sorrow. It's something which cannot be really ended. The reason that it cannot be ended, or it, there is no beginning or end for samsara, also means that it is an illusion. Only an illusion cannot have a beginning and end, because it doesn't have any end as such. Though the difference between an illusion and reality is that reality also doesn't have any beginning and end. Illusion also doesn't have any beginning and end, but illusion has an end when you overcome it, when you know the substratum. So illusion, from the perspective of the illusion, it is endless because you can never get rid of it. You cannot get rid of it because it never exists. You cannot remove the water seen in desert because there is no water at all. Then what is removal? Removal is knowledge that it is not there. So the samsaram is anantam because it is an illusion, and then it has been, it has continued for from time immemorial, like janma janmam, like Shankara says, punarapi jananam punarapi maranam. It goes on and on and on. This is samsara bahudistare. This samsara sagaram. It is considered with the sagaram because it is an ocean, is also endless. You cannot see one end of the ocean. From one end you cannot see the other end. So oceans are considered kind of endless. So this samsara sagaram is also endless. Samsaram, Shankara defines samsaram in one of his works as avidya kama karma. So samsaram is filled with avidya, kamam and karma. From avidya, from ignorance that I am blissful, that causes a person to desire for perfection. So that leads to kamam. And kamam, if you have to fulfill any kamam, fulfill any desire, fulfill any wish, then you have to do karmam. So avidya kama karmam continues. Karmam, karmam, like as Vidyaranya says, like kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum cha bunjate. Karma bhogaya, a person does action to get some fruit, to enjoy something, and then he enjoys the fruit in order to do more actions. It's like we work for earning money. We earn money and eat in order to work more. So this chain continues. So avidya kama karma is what in three words we can explain samsara. It starts with avidya, then comes to kamam and karmam. And karmam and phalam is goes on endlessly. That's why it is also called as anantam. So this ananta, ananta samsaram, this samsara sagaram, samsara samudram is anantam. And if a person has to cross over it, taram. Tara means like to cross over. So in order to cross over this ananta samsara sagaram, naukai tabhyam, it is the boat. Naukai tabhyam means like, since it is, it's not singular because it's 2 feet. In Sanskrit, there is the concept of like singular. In all other languages, we have only singular and plural. Whereas in Sanskrit, ekavachan is there, or singular, dvivachan or two is there, and then bahuvachan. So that's one of the speciality of Sanskrit language. So naukai tabhyam, tabhyam means like here it is in dvivachan, or it indicates two. So these two like feet, the two, not the feet, two gurupadaka of the guru is like two boats which help us to cross over the ocean of samsara. So when a person prostrates with a guru paduka, it is as good as prostrating to the guru. So when a person prostrates to the guru, then he is offering himself completely to the guru. That means the guru takes care of like the knowledge that a person needs, that the disciple needs to get, as well as the guru makes sure that the disciple also follows whatever is being told, so that he crosses over the ocean of samsara. That's also the reason, like, you should always remember that for normal people, like, you cannot cross over the ocean without the help of guru. And guru paduka means like you have total devotion. And so ananta samsara samudra tara naukai tabhyam, this like the guru padukas are like two boats which help us to cross over the endless ocean of samsara. And guru bhakti dabhyam, if a person, let's say I have just started on this path, I have met my guru, if I need to get real devotion, the best way to get devotion is to offer oneself to the guru paduka. So you will not keep a paduka of a person. The paduka or the footwear is considered the what to say, the worst thing in life. Like, if you have to touch another person's footwear, we will think 100 times. We will not do that at all. Even if it is our mothers or fathers, still we will not do that. But if a person has to do it, if a person does it, that means that shows devotion. And that helps in cultivating devotion. Because only if devotion is there, a person will do it. And when he does that, like, it is the considered the worst thing to do. So if he does that, that means like it will increase the devotion towards the guru, increase faith. So the guru paduka, if a person has the paduka of his guru, that helps him in getting devotion. So guru bhakti dabhyam, it gives guru bhakti. It helps to give guru bhakti, enhance or enforce guru bhakti, and strengthen the guru bhakti. Vairagya samrajyada pujanabhyam. And like pujanabhyam, for a person who worships the Guru Paduka, what will it give? Vairagya samrajyada. So it gives him, it makes him, or it takes him to the empire of vairagyam or dispassion. So if a person prostrates the Guru Paduka, he enters into the kingdom of dispassion. Without dispassion, you cannot get, like, you cannot understand knowledge, you cannot apprehend knowledge and realize. Shankara himself in Sadhana Chatushtayam, Viveka Vairagya. So Vairagyam is also important. Without Vairagyam, a person cannot realize. Vairagyam is essential. Vairagyam is essential. Vairagyam of Apara Vairagyam and Para Vairagyam, both are essential, because Apara Vairagyam makes us dispassionate towards the world. That means non-seeking of things of the world. And Paravairagyam makes us attached or attracted to the ultimate reality. Both are required, Anukulam and Pratikulam. Like things, if you want to realize something, if you want to get into IIM, then you need to have Anukulam and Pratikulam. Anukulam is like preparing for CAT, whereas Pratikulam is avoiding watching movies or other distractions so that you can focus on the Anukulam. So Anukulam is like things you should do, that which support it, and Pratikulam is those with obstruct, which has to be renounced. So Vairagyam is very essential, because only through Vairagyam can we overcome the attraction for the world, thereby concentrate ourselves on the ultimate reality of Brahman. Unless a person is not attracted towards the world, he will not spend time in something which is beyond. If we think that the world will give us bliss, then we will go after the entities in the world. We will not be able to focus on something which is beyond the Brahman. Therefore, Vairagyam is essential. And a person who worships the Guru Paduka, it will give us Vairagyam. It will make us Vairagyam. Vairagyam and Virakti are different. Virakti means dispassion that is caused out of some external condition. Let's say I am married, my wife dies, I become dispassionate towards the world because of my wife passing by. So that is Virakti. Virakti is when you are like, when you don't like the world because of something. That is like temporary, that will go off. Vairagyam is when you are dispassionate of the world because you know that the world will not give you happiness but will give sorrow only. That's the difference between Vairagyam and Virakti. But if a person prostrates to the Guru, or the Guru Paduka, if a person like prostrates to the Guru Paduka, then Guru Paduka will grant him Vairagyam. It will make him, we can also say, it will make him the king of the empire of Vairagyam. That means he will become well, like he will become a perfect person in Vairagyam. And if Vairagyam becomes perfect, then he realizes Brahman very easily. So that's the first shloka. The next shloka is Kavitva Varashini Shakarabhyam Durbhagya Dhavam Budhamalikabhyam Duri Kratanam Ravipatitabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. The second line in the link says Daridriya Dhavam Budhamalikabhyam. Whereas like what I have learned is Durbhagya Dhavam Budhamalikabhyam. Durbhagyam or Daridhyam. There are two different readings. Kavitva Varashi Nishah Karabhyam. Again, it's the same thing as Namo Namakshri Guru Padaka Abhyam. I offer my prostrations to the Guru Padaka, which has so and so qualities. So the first is Kavitva Varashi Nishah Karabhyam. So Kavi, Kavitvam means generally we understand Kavi as a person, poet. But Sanskrit in Kavi is, Shankara interprets Kavi, the word Kavi which comes in Ishavasya Upanishad as Kranta Darshi, a person who knows the future. So Kavi word is used in Sanskrit as well as Vedanta as a person who has wisdom. So it's a person who is having wisdom. So Kavitvam means wisdom is there. So Kavitva Varashi Nishakarabhyam. Varam means water. Varashi means ocean or samsara. So in the ocean of Kavitvam, in the ocean of wisdom, the Guru Padukas are Nisha. Nisha means moon. That means it is full, perfect. It is the peak of knowledge. So in the ocean of wisdom, the Guru Padukas are perfect. That means Guru Paduka, if a person offers himself to the Guru Paduka, then he will be given wisdom. He will be given Kavitvam. Kavitvam doesn't mean mere knowledge, it means Vijnanam or experience as well. So if a person prostrates to the Guru Paduka, then he will be granted realization for sure, because the Guru Padukas are the moon in the ocean of wisdom. And Daurbhagya Davam Buddha Malikabhyam. It is Ambuddha Malikabhyam means garland. It is like a garland of clouds. It's a garland of clouds which remove or which extinguish fire of Daurbhagyam. Daurbhagyam means Bhagyam means fate, so ill fate. So Daridriyam also can be taken. Daridriyam means poverty. That means the fire of poverty is removed by the cloud of the garland of clouds, which is the Guru Paduka. So the Guru Paduka, if a person prostrates to the Guru Paduka, then he will not have any Daridriyam, he will not have be any Daurbhagyam. Such a person will always be at the empirical level with respect to money or fate, he will be always at a good place, position. Swami Vivekananda always, Swami Vivekananda came from a poor family, so they had a lot of problems and troubles with respect to money. So, Sri Ramakrishna then finally said that, okay, I'll grant you, I'll tell to Kali, I'll ask Kali to give you the bare necessities so that your family doesn't suffer. So it also means that a person who prostrates to the Guru Padukas, he will be given the bare necessities, whatever he needs with respect to money, with respect to faith, with respect to normal living in the world, that will also be given. So this means that if a person really surrenders to the Guru or the Guru Padukas, then he will not face any problems in the world. So many people think that if I learn Vedanta, then I'll not get things in the world, because I'll not get money, I'll not get anything, so I'll become a pauper in world. That is not the case. A person who is really following Vedanta by offering himself to a guru, he will be given whatever is needed for living in the world. Such a person will surely be given. I know when my father, 10-15 years back, my father, when they bought a house, he had to take a loan and all. But till this date, till today, though my father was not used to a lot of savings, even I am not used to much savings, but still, by Amma's grace, I have been getting whatever I want. So the worldly needs, whatever it is, whether it is a little bit, getting many things, getting worldly entities and all, everything has been satisfied by Amma. There has been no issues till now. So a person who really surrenders to the Guru Padaka, he will not only be given wisdom, but he will be given whatever he needs in the world, whatever he needs to live in the world. Duri Krita Namra Vipatti Tabhyam. And for person Namram, vinamram, namram, it's the same meaning as like a person who has devotion, who has respect. So people who offer themselves to the Guru Padaka, who are real devotees of the Guru Padaka, who offer themselves to the Guru Padaka, vipattitabhyam. So vipat means like problems or their sufferings. So their problems as well as sufferings in the world, all their problems will be durikrita, will be completely removed by the Guru Padaka. So in this shloka, the author says that a person who offers himself at the Guru Padaka, then he will get wisdom. He will not only get wisdom, but he will also, like, it will also help him in removing poverty as well as give him basic needs, and it will also remove all the troubles that he has in the world. That is also the reason why it is said that we should never argue, or we should, if a person tries to go against a Mahatma, against a realized saint, or against a person who is a devotee of a realized saint, such people would befall calamities. So let's say I am a real devotee of Amma, and if somebody wants bad for me and they do some bad for me, then those people will suffer, because that is the power of the Guru Paduka. The Guru Paduka will make sure that, like, it will make sure that I am good, as well as it will also make sure that anybody who is causing problem for me, they will have to suffer. So that is this shloka. The next shloka is Natayu Shri Patitam Samihu Kadachidapyashudaridravaryah Mukashtavachas Patitam Hitabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. So these shlokas, though they have like inner meaning in them, but it is also poetic. So since it says Totram, we can find lot of analogies, beautiful analogies, which you can remember. So again, Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. Like, I offer my prostrations to the Guru Paduka, which has so and so qualities. The first one is Nata Yayo Shri Patitam Samihu. For people, like, people who surrender to this, to the Guru Paduka. For people who surrender to the Guru Paduka, Sri Patitabhyam. Sri Patitam Samiyuhu, sorry, Sri Patitam means, Sri means wealth, goddess of wealth. Sri Patitam means they become lord of wealth. So, Kadachit Apyashu Daridravaryaha, Daridravaryaha, like, Daridravaryaha means people who are in Daridriyam, who are the peak of Daridriyam. So, the poorest person who surrenders to the Guru, Nata, Nata Yayohu, Yayohu Nata. So, on the Guru Padukas, or those who surrender or offer their prostrations to the Guru Paduka, even if they are Daridriyam, Daridriyam Varyaha, they are the poorest of people, Kaja, Kadachit, Kadachit, they very quickly, Api Ashu, Ashu, they attain Sri Patitam Samihu, they become Sri Patitam. So, if a person surrenders, if a person offers his prostrations to the Guru Paduka, then even if he is a Daridravarya, even if he is a person who is the poorest of people, he will become the lord of wealth within no time, Kadachit. So, within no time, he will become. So, this means that if a person really surrenders, offers his prostrations to the Guru Paduka, then he will have wealth. Again, lot of wealth, we don't need to interpret it like literally, but it means that a person who is considered to be lord of anything, when he is in control of the other thing, when I am the lord of my country, when my country doesn't control me, but I control the country. So, lord of wealth means one, a person who controls wealth and is not controlled by wealth. So, it just means that a person who has wealth under his control. So, if I have 10 rupees with me, if I am able to control those 10 rupees, control the flow of 10 rupees, then I am the lord of wealth. And if that doesn't control me, for most people, wealth controls them because they need wealth. When you need something, then that something is controlling you. If you don't get it, you become sad. But a person who controls wealth means a person who is unaffected by wealth, who, like, for whom wealth doesn't matter much. Such a person is the lord of wealth. So here, lord of wealth means, can also be interpreted, or the best interpretation would be, a person who is controlling wealth. So whatever wealth he has, he controls it. He doesn't need more, he doesn't want more, but whatever he has, he controls it. He uses it for the best purpose, and he is in no lack of wealth at any time. As we say, saw in the previous shloka, a person daridriyam, a person who is in daridriyam, who is in the fire of daridriyam poverty, he'll, like, if he offers his prostrations to the Guru Paduka, then that is like a rainy, a garland of clouds which pour rain over the fire and extinguishes the fire of poverty. So that means a person will, whatever he needs, wealth he needs, he will get it. So if a person surrenders, offers himself to the Guru Paduka, then within no time, he'll become lord of wealth. He'll be controlling wealth. He'll be unaffected by wealth. The main lord of anything is a person who is unaffected by the thing, but who controls it, who is equipoised with that entity, who is not affected by it. And mukashcha vachaspatitam hitabhyam. Mukashcha. Muka means a person who cannot speak. Vachaspati means lord of speech, Brihaspati. So Brihaspati is the lord of speech. So a person who offers himself to the Guru Paduka, he, even if he is a dumb person, he becomes Vachaspati. He becomes lord of speech. That means speech flows out of his mouth. So this is the same as what we learnt in the Gita Dhyana Shlokam. Mukam karoti vachalam pankam langayate girim. So there it was vachalam. Here it is lord of speech. That means the story of Kalidasa is quite famous. Like when Kalidasa was a person who couldn't speak, I guess. And like when he offered himself to Kali, Kali came and wrote in his, like, touched with the Trishulam on his tongue, and then he became one of the best poets ever. So that is a, like, kind of real example for whatever the author says here. So mukashcha vachas paditam hitabhyam. The dumb person becomes the lord of speech, or becomes Brihaspati.